You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching, co-owner of Calls on Call Shared Receptionist Services, as well as the author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. Today, we are welcoming slash preparing to learn from John Gishnock of Formicology. John, how are you feeling today?
Real good, James. Thanks for having me here.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being here.
You now, bet.
Can you tell me, or I guess tell us, a little bit about what is Formicology?
Yes, 30-second elevator speeches. We are a landscape.
Sure, go.
Right, 28. We are a landscape design, build, and maintenance company. We work at the residential and small commercial scale.
Okay.
Unlike your typical garden variety, though, we focus on not only beautiful landscapes, but landscapes that are more sustainable or easier on the environment.
Uh-huh.
So we're kind of a niche in the big pie of the landscape industry.
Sure, sure.
Yes.
Hence the whole ecology portion of the name.
Absolutely, yeah. We use the word form as an art, and ecology is in the study of nature or nature. And so we see ourselves putting art around nature and bringing that home into our residential and small commercial scale projects.
Huh, that's super cool.
Yes.
So you, how long have you been in business?
We are now going into our 20th year.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so I bought this company in 2006 when it was just kind of a smaller hobby type business.
Okay.
And writing a business plan of my own.
Nice.
Getting ready for this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Got a call from an individual who we had hired as a part of my previous employer as a subcontractor. And said he's selling his company, moving to Sweden, him and his family. So would I be interested?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sure.
So turned out to be great. And Formicology has always focused on high craftsmanship, great communication, and consistency in our product. So was happy at the opportunity to buy this company.
Sure. Now, how big was the company when you bought it?
Small. This is a couple of employees, three employees.
Okay.
Yep. $150,000 in sales.
Okay.
So not a lot. And,
sure.
It was a new idea for me to buy a company,
right.
Learn how to buy a company, work with a lot of great people next to me to help me get my arms around this and what questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear me say it probably a couple times. It takes a community to really raise a business.
Indeed.
And I did not do this alone questions.
Sure.
So, I can remember, if you're interested, the night before we bought the company, having a really bad feeling in my stomach as I lay next to my wife. And I guess maybe being reminded that there's more than one person involved in this ordeal.
That's fantastic.
But, yes, right. But I and this is not what I'm accustomed to, but I lowballed the offer the next day.
Okay.
Fairly close to purchase time.
Oh.
Yes.
So had you guys, this is so interesting, so I hope you don't mind us going down this purchase road.
Not at all.
There's a couple things going on that I feel like small business owners that are listening would love to hear, because there's always the whole, how do we get out of the business that we built, right? Are we just going to die here?
Right.
Or what's the exit plan?
Right.
And one of the options for an exit is to sell.
Yes.
So you being a buyer of the business and growing the business over the course of 12 additional years beyond what it was.
Yes.
There's so much information there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to delve deep
into
here.
Let's do it. I'm game.
Okay. So first of all, this guy calls you up and you had worked with him before?
Yeah, he was a subcontractor for us on a project.
Okay. So at the time, you were an employee of another business?
Yes.
Okay. Had you ever worked for this guy before?
No.
No, okay. So they were subcontractors, so you worked with them, and you knew their operations, stuff like that. And I imagine they're a smaller company.
Yes.
So you knew their employees and all that jazz.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they called you up and said, hey, John, how's it going? You want to buy a business? At that point, did you ever think of owning your own business?
I was sitting on a kitchen table, had just completed a semester of school in the grad program at the University of Michigan.
Oh, wow.
I'd been to too many schools to mention on the air over much too long of a period of time.
Okay.
But knew school wasn't for me, so I shelled out a lot of money to find out I wasn't ready to do any more school and needed to really If you ask folks who worked with me back in my earlier career, knew that I always wanted to run a business, a small design build company that focused on my passion, this sustainable solutions to landscape architecture, to landscape design build. So I had a business plan already started, had been building for this day for many years in my mind, saving articles and documenting things.
Okay, so you were on your way.
On my way from a planning perspective, which, you know, they say the two most important things to develop for your business is a business plan. And then the second one, once you get cooking, is your budget. You know, just critical. So already had some foundation of what we wanted to be. Form ecology owner who had called me sort of fit in philosophically. This is a pretty nice match made in heaven.
Did he know that you were going down the road of business ownership?
No.
So he just called you out of the blue. That was coincidental.
Yep. We had moved back to Wisconsin. I went back to my old employer, started working, writing a business plan, and getting ready to do my own thing.
So, holy cow, that opens up so many questions. Like, how many guys did this guy call saying, hey, do you want to buy a business?
I don't think very many. And he was in his 11th hour, too.
Oh. Yeah. Because they were moving.
Yeah.
So it was either move or just close it up and go to Sweden.
Possibly.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think when you, as you own a company, what I hear is you value the company more than someone else might.
Possibly.
Yeah. You know, until you start putting a, you know, running some formulas and having other people tell you what it's worth.
Sure.
You know, it's so close to you. It's your baby. You built it. Yeah, so it came at a pretty, you know, what I thought was a sizable price tag.
Sure.
Given what we were getting. And I had to really break down what we were getting. We were getting equipment, and that was worth the ask price. But the question was, you know, the client base and everything else that came with it. Yes. Was it really worth the ask that was there?
So did they have some appraisal or something like that, or they just do a multiplier times EBITDA?
Yeah, I think it was the latter, a simpler form. And even their attorney was probably helping them evaluate the company as well.
EBITDA, remind us, earnings before interest, taxes. What's the last part?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, but I've heard a couple different ways to multiply.
And they find certain industries of certain multipliers because of profit and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
So, okay. Yes. So they had some algorithm, whether it was a realistic one or not.
Yes.
You could totally argue till the end of the world. It's just like buying a used car, right?
Yes.
What's a car worth? What somebody's willing to pay for it.
Right. So, and it seems a person selling it puts more value on it than it's worth.
Well, it's in their best interest to get the most, it is. It's the buyer's best interest to pay the least. So you just got to find some common ground if there is some.
Absolutely.
Just like buying anything, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I think my lender, without saying directly, John, I think you're overpaying for this. They were ready to finance, potentially finance this.
At the asking price.
Yeah, with some help. I had to bring some dollars to the table.
Sure.
It takes a community. My best friend from back in Ohio wired me over $6,000 to help me match some of my funds to do this. So it takes a community again. And it takes good friends and it, managing your friendships, you know, being a good friend yourself. So, but my lender, reading between the lines and a few other people that I had spoke to, had a sense that, it was a little overpriced.
All right.
Back in school, I learned the two things you need before you start a business, at least a landscape business, is a good attorney and a good accountant. So I had already those in my corner.
Sure.
I didn't know they were great at the time, but they're actually, I call them friends now.
Sure.
We've been together for 10 years. I can't tell you how helpful those two people have been for me.
Sure.
Both of those, again, sort of, without saying directly, made me feel like the price was a little too much. So,
they were kind of, they didn't tell you directly. They just, you just saw,
are you looking at this
head
correctly?
Sure.
And are the clients what they seem to be? Is there as much breath there? Have the clients been maintained? Is there more work to be done with these clients?
Sure.
So we got to go over a lot of them.
Okay.
The couple that were still supposed to be active were, you know, what I call more of a red light client anymore. I don't think they were very substantial. We got a little bit of work out of the existing client base, it turns out. I bought a great portfolio with the company. So and I bought 9 years of business establishment with my company. The name, which we still use today and have a wonderful logo, I think, to go around the name. The value we paid, I probably paid a little bit on a third of ask price.
A third?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you were definitely lowballing. Okay.
You know, I mean, but this is, you know, this is the meat and potatoes of my life. This is one of the most substantial decisions I made next to, you know, marrying my wife and buying a house. And we bought a house with a few outbuildings to manage this building. We're poised to do it. So, okay. Yeah, we went through, you know, it wasn't as, a greater relationship with the seller as it was initially when I was paying the full ass price.
Sure. So tell me, can you paint a picture in regards to the timeline? The time that you got that phone call to the time that you presented the offer? Are we talking weeks or months?
We're talking
or?
6 months probably.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Over a multitude of 3 to 5 meetings.
Okay.
You know, asking questions, getting feedback, taking it back to my, you know, my group, my posse, the attorney, the accountant, running some of these questions. Doing it a little solo without, you know, hiring an attorney full on board. And I think many who would start up a company would try to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. In the end, it comes down to, are you seeing what you're getting, you know, with the right set of eyes?
Right.
In the
What's
end?
The return on investment you for bet. That money that you're you paying? Bet. Sure.
I paid exactly what it was worth.
Okay.
You know, in the end, I paid exactly what it was worth.
Gotcha.
You know, so.
So over the course of the 6 months, you're with a phone call, I imagine you're just like, hey, that sounds like a great idea. Let's talk. You grab coffee or lunch or something like that and talk about what do they have going on? Why are they selling? All that jazz, right?
Exactly.
Making sure that you're not buying a burning building
you
or
bet.
Something.
You bet.
Priority one.
Yes.
And then I imagine you have to figure out, okay, are they making money? And because you're going to have to pay back the loan, whatever, for that you borrow to buy this business.
Yes.
Which that money's going to have to come out of the profits of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some due diligence that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So was the 6 months mostly on your end, just doing some research? Or was it on their end trying to tie up loose ends and stuff like that?
I think the owner and seller was probably tying up loose ends at the same time. I wouldn't say they were learning, but they were waiting for kind of counters from us to kind of go back and tighten up their stuff.
Sure.
I did ask for profit and loss statements over a series of years.
Mm-hmm.
And those were semi-fruitful.
Okay.
I think you have to have a good chart of accounts set up.
Yep.
You have to have the discipline to enter your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe at the end of the year, you kind of review some of that and clean it up because things always get miscoded.
Sure.
But looking at their data, it looked like they were making money.
Okay.
Step one. Right. Step one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Had a good client name. I had interacted with them directly, was very impressed, always impressed with their work.
Okay.
Being a little bit more of a hobby type company and not chasing high dollar, they were always more interested in craft while making money.
Okay. Okay.
In this industry, you do have to focus on craft. You just don't get callbacks. And word of mouth is critical in our industry.
Okay.
A bad project gets told to 7 people, and a good one gets told to 1 if you're lucky.
And someone's idea of a bad project could be just like, oh, there's
very
that one day that they said they're going to come out here, and even though it was a torrential downpour.
Yes, yes. A missed communication on one day.
Sure.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yes.
So at what point did you, over the course of that 6 months, did you guys really start talking numbers, or did they present a number first and then you kicked it around? Or just tell me about, without talking specific dollar amounts, just at what point did they present what they were looking for?
That was right off the bat.
Okay.
You know, like going to a garage sale and just seeing a tag right on it.
Okay, yep. Here it is.
So, yes. Here's what comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was made obvious right on.
Sure.
And I didn't know much better either. So the value of a business dollar wasn't there for me yet.
Okay.
Learning. I had some managerial experience.
Okay.
Some of my own minor entrepreneurial experience, but I'm a self-trained business person.
Okay.
And we started by talking about our Inventors and Entrepreneurs Club that we met with in Evansville, Wisconsin. But things like that have taught me to be, brought me the business aptitude necessary.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, the price and the details of the deal were brought forward right at the start.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
And so they brought you the price, and at that point, you're just like, oh, okay, that's the price, whatever. And then over the course of talking with your attorney and banker, accountant, stuff like that, then you're thinking, wait a second, maybe that price is a little high. So, but a third, that's crazy. So to me, that's crazy because I imagine, well, I guess I like to buy and sell stuff, right?
Yes.
Motorcycles, junk, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you always want to buy it for the least amount possible so that you know that when you fix it up and resell it, you can make the biggest profit. Mm-hmm. But a third, that's awesome that you did that. Mm-hmm. How did you come up with that number? Was it, let's just call theirs as 100%. If I pay 100%, the bank's cool with that, but I'm getting a little feedback that it's not ideal. So we could cut it down by 10% or 20%, something like that. But I get the impression that you cut out a little bit of a, if I'm making the wrong decision, I don't want it to be that big of a decision. Mm-hmm. So you cut the dollar amount, and that's going to take away some of the heart attack potential, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. Is that kind of the realm?
Yes, it is. Probably devalued sort of the client base, the goodwill concept, quite a bit. So the hard assets of the company, the mm-hmm. vehicle, the Bobcat, the trailer, the tools, those were easier to put a value on.
Oh, sure, because you know if you would have to resell them, what you'd pay
for, street value. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it was really on the value of the goodwill, the client base that I was receiving.
Okay.
You know, and the more I dug into that and more that folks made me dig into those a little bit, there just didn't seem to be the bulk, the promise on return. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to start those clients myself, so I don't know how eager they are to come back.
Uh-huh.
And like I mentioned, the three that were supposed to be active clients turned out to be clients we didn't wind up working with anyways.
Were these construction companies or companies that would give you routine business?
These were just two residential clients that had design work signed with the previous owner that I was inheriting.
Okay.
And they wound up being clients that in situations that I thought best to get out of as quickly as we could.
Oh, believe it or not. Okay, so, sure.
That was probably the biggest component is understanding the clients and if I was really buying something that would come back to me.
Sure.
Over the past 12 years that we've had those clients, I've probably had a dozen.
Oh, wow.
You know,
okay.
That have come back over, you know, maybe a client base of 50.
Sure.
So not terrible.
All right. That's fine,
whether
not
we
bad.
Did work or not, yes.
Sure.
Coming back through.
Sure.
I've met some of those past clients again at various trade shows, which has been fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're the new John because the old one was John as well,
nice.
J-O-H-N.
Sure.
And that's been fun. So they'd come back with smiles and say how well their project was looking and doing. So that's been exciting.
Okay.
Yeah, but to get back to your question, I think the third was really taking over the hard assets there and really lopping the goodwill down to very little.
So when you presented that to John and his wife, other John and his wife, was that in person, over the phone, over email?
That was over email or over phone, excuse me.
Okay.
Yep.
And what was
the
reaction?
I believe it was. It wasn't good.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't good. It was getting a little close for him, too, and he was in a sticky situation.
Sure. Which is perfect for you, right?
Could be an ideal situation for a buyer.
Sure.
But I didn't take advantage of that situation. We looked at it and went more over what, it was really, really worth.
Sure.
And it happened to be in the 11th hour that the offer was made.
Now, when you say 11th hour, just because they were moving to Sweden?
Yeah, and it was going to get a little bit more difficult to sign paperwork and handle things here.
So they were going. They were not waiting for this to happen or not happen. They're like,
I guess,
date?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. And whether the sale of this would still be, I believe the attorney was still going to manage a little bit of the sale should they had left.
Okay.
In fact, they did leave, and I think we did things remotely.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yep, through the sale.
Okay.
But, yeah, there were some unique situations that made me able to come in lower.
Sure.
But I probably couldn't stress enough that when you want to buy something new, that sort of, the buyer's higher. You want, I go buy a new Blu-ray of a new cool indie flick or something when I want to buy something.
Mm-hmm.
But this was not the time to just buy something and buy it for more than it was worth.
Mm-hmm.
So using the people around me and their advices and my own gut for heaven's sake, that is the best tool still.
Right. That's fair.
It really is. An unsettled feeling that night, mm-hmm. that I knew I was asking for too much.
Sure.
And I had to be willing to say this price and mm-hmm. also walk away if the seller said no.
That's perfect. High five there, man.
Yep.
Never fall in love with the deal.
Okay.
Right? That's beautiful, right? That you're willing to walk away.
It had to be. Yeah.
I was telling, so I got little brother Danny.
Yes.
Helping him shop for a car. It's going to be his first car.
Okay.
And we're looking.
You want it now, don't you?
Oh, well, he does.
He does.
And I got to tell him, just never, ever, ever fall in love with a car, a deal, a business. Just don't fall in love, either from a buyer's point or a seller's point. I can tell you, I just sold a motorcycle this weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And you get people, like it's on Craigslist and all that kind of stuff, and you get people reaching out to you that either didn't have money or they said, hey, I have to wait till my next paycheck.
Yes.
And I'm like, if you have to wait till your next paycheck to buy a motorcycle, you should probably just wait a year.
Right.
It's probably not ideal for
right.
you.
Right, but you were willing.
Yeah, but the guy that I bought the motorcycle from, initially he was telling me about some people that are just coming out kicking tires. And I was like, oh, that's crazy that people are talking about this next paycheck before they can afford the bike.
Yes.
And he's like, you know what? I'm not their financial planner. So if they come to me with the cash and they want the bike, you know, that's the rule, right?
Yep.
So with Danny, I'm telling him, don't fall in love with the car. There's a bunch of cars for sale and in your price range. So just figure out what you're looking for and look at enough of them that you know that when you find it, that it's good and you can act on that. But don't fall in love with anything because that's how you get heartbroken, right?
That's how you
say like, oh, I got to fall in love with this. And then you end up paying too much or you end up making some sacrifices that you didn't have to make. That at the time, maybe they feel okay, but within a day or a month or whatever.
Yeah, they start to eat at you a little
bit. Yeah, not so good.
That's great. Brotherly advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've seemed to have found that out the hard way just growing up.
Sure.
You know, and this is not, this is a grown up.
Mm-hmm.
A grown-up decision.
Huge, huge.
So, yes. And if you have a business plan and know who you want to be and what you want it to be, and mm-hmm. you're buying a new business,
mm-hmm.
I need to make sure that is everything we want then, too.
Sure,
and maybe those clients aren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing we are in business is a quality-focused business. We have very good warranties,
mm-hmm.
track record of going back and doing rework as needed. Not mm-hmm. that we need to do it a lot.
No, but I get it.
Right, but... just needed to make sure that the client base, you know, that the company that John built was mm-hmm. was of that same milk.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. That's fair.
Yeah.
So do you, when you were telling John about this pricing, was there a conversation then back and forth? Did he try to negotiate a little with you?
I think I had come to the determination that
it was that or nothing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And may have eliminated his ability.
Gotcha.
You know, to come back much.
So he's got the option at that point of either accepting your offer or taking the time to find another offer or just close up shop, walk away.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Okay.
Absolutely.
So at the time, with his timeline, probably what you offered was like, you know what? Let's just run with that.
I have to do it.
Mm-hmm. There's something to be said for, on the seller's side, what is the cost of the headache of not selling to this person? Mm-hmm. Right? Because you know that he already has 6 months invested with you.
Yes.
Right? He knows that you're trustworthy. So his customers will be taken care of. So, and he knows that he's going off to Sweden. Who knows what he was doing there or what his plan was there. But maybe this was an afterthought and it's time to just move on to turn the page of your life kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So it's interesting. Yep. I've certainly sold stuff when you're just like, you know what? I'm sick of dinking around. Just take it for whatever they offer.
Yep.
Or sometimes I feel like I should just have a bag or a bunch of bags and I could just have people pay me $20. And just go through my house and just grab whatever they want.
You bet.
Just fill the bag. I don't care. Yeah. But there's two rules, right? It's $20 per bag and it has to be full.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. Because you want to get rid of stuff.
I want to get rid of just stuff, man.
Absolutely.
You collect all this junk. And,
absolutely. Absolutely.
It's weird. But anyways, that hasn't happened yet.
Yes.
So,
no.
Someday.
Good. Let me know when that does happen.
Sure.
I'm coming over.
Come on
if
over.
If you've got cool stuff, I'd like to come.
It'll go fast, right? Just get it. Maybe that's the rule, right? You have to take one cool thing and one just lame thing.
Yeah, okay.
You're like, what is this? That's an 8-track player. Just take it. It's yours.
That's fair, right?
So there's a couple things in regards to selling I also want to talk to you about.
Yes.
First one is your wife. What was her reaction into use? You were married at the time that the call came in.
Yes.
Okay. So what was her reaction to you saying, hey, I want to quit my job, buy this business, and then all that happens with that? Was she cool? Was she like, what? Are you crazy? Or what was her reaction?
She was open to the idea. We had already been having conversations.
Okay.
about me being an entrepreneur mm-hmm. and taking a stab into mm-hmm. a business. And so that was great.
Yeah.
She probably saw some of the writing on the wall.
Sure.
Maybe picked up some of my passion along the way, but feels like I had been wired to be an entrepreneur of mm-hmm. some sort for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was finding the right location and the right opportunity.
Sure.
My wife being a nurse was kind of nice, and I noticed a lot of landscape contractors in the industry have wives
from a healthcare point of view?
Have nurses as wives. Yes.
Sure.
So, yep, it does help, mm-hmm. you know, with my own healthcare.
Sure.
Huge. Yep. And she makes a decent amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And they all should because they work their tails off.
Right.
Nurses, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, you know, we were allowed to kind of live. We have a small house, small little
sure.
farmhouse. We paid mostly for the 3 acres and the outbuildings
mm-hmm.
to have our business.
Oh, nice.
Deliberately kind of don't have kids. My mm-hmm. wife had one when she was younger.
Sure.
So, you know, set up to kind of run our professions.
Mm-hmm. It's on the verge of ideal.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it, you know, it is. It's ideal to work, you know, 55 to 60 hours guilt-free
right?
every week and not
sure.
feel like you're missing out on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a great partner who's kind of all in with it too,
mm-hmm.
sees our successes.
Sure.
And is more sold on it every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Our goal is to sort of get her down from, you know, 40 a few hours
okay.
each year as we continue to develop
sure.
develop our business.
For her to not just work less or for her to put more time in the business?
I think a little of both.
Okay.
My wife is our bookkeeper, mm-hmm. which is great. And I've mm-hmm. heard if you can have a someone in the family running the money,
sure.
That's a good thing.
Sure.
So I've unfortunately heard a few stories about...
Yeah, it can go both ways, right?
Okay, yeah, it can.
Yeah.
But I guess the consensus was somebody you love and care and cares back will
sure.
be a better money manager for you.
Sure.
Than
that's
an
fair.
Outside.
That's
than
fair.
Okay.
I would counter that only being that there's a skill set necessary.
Yes.
And if they don't have that skill set, trust will go a long way. But if they don't know what they're doing, stuff can get messed up as well.
Well, that's a great point to bring up. And I can tell you that same accountant that I said is kind of our friend now. We've been together 10, 12 years. They
yeah.
helped my wife and myself learned QuickBooks.
Awesome.
Helped us set up our chart of accounts
mm-hmm.
And really helped us with the financial kind of wherewithal
sure.
there too.
Sure.
And a little bit of our own education, learning which financial ratios to look
mm-hmm.
at.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call these? The key performance, KPIs, key
yep.
performance indicators.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, what do I need to be looking at monthly?
Mm-hmm.
Once it's set up, then it's just a discipline of kind of plugging into
that's right.
everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reports in a program like QuickBooks, I don't want to prop them up too much, but it is a really good program.
It is.
It's pretty intuitive. A couple $100 gets you started.
Mm-hmm.
Most accountants offer training on that program.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it gives us a nice professional look, and the reports are just insane.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah, yeah. I can
we
tell
set
you.
Our budget up in QuickBooks.
Mm-hmm.
They pull from last year's data.
Sure.
Which is pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
So just being in it 12 years, we use our reports a lot. We
mm-hmm.
do set a budget, and we try to kind of live by that.
Sure.
If we're not looking at it monthly, it might be a little bit more often than that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's super incredible.
One other person that's been helping us is my sibling, my younger sibling, Melissa.
Nice.
So
okay.
she lives down at the end of my street.
Yeah.
I've always told everybody she's a little smarter than me. She's learned on the fly, as an office manager.
Sure.
So she's been with us 6 years now.
Oh, wow.
She's done some outdoor education,
mm-hmm.
indoor education with us, learned
mm-hmm.
our processes. So
mm-hmm.
That's been great to have her be a part of our company too.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think having outsourcing the $5 work or the $50 work, why an owner can stick to the $500 or
mm-hmm.
the $5,000 work
mm-hmm.
is pretty critical.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So having somebody work 16 to 22 hours,
mm-hmm.
social media, marketing,
mm-hmm.
human resources,
mm-hmm.
some bookkeeping
mm-hmm.
Has been incredibly helpful.
Sure. That's smart.
And I think good for a lot of that doesn't, you know, you can find in high school student, there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of options for finding a little bit of office
mm-hmm.
management help
mm-hmm.
To let you focus
sure.
On your professional experience.
Yeah, 1,000 times over. That's great. That's essentially what we sell with Calls on Call.
Yes.
Is the same thing. And then I hear it a lot. I hear the counter to that, right? When people call, they want to talk to me kind of thing. And I'm like, well, they don't. They don't. Maybe they do in a perfect world.
Yep.
But if they had a choice between talking to someone that could solve their problem or talking to a voicemail that may or may not get returned.
Yes.
They just want their problem solved.
Yes. Right? I think, well, Melissa's making 2 return phone calls today for me. Mm-hmm. I'm dealing with the one that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Got something that has arisen from the recent storm.
Sure.
So I'll go handle Artis and her problem. But 2 other leads that came in, Melissa's going to flush those out this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a brief conversation about them. And we have a couple of standard questions to ask with each lead
that helps us
red light and green light a lead.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned we're high warranty.
Mm-hmm.
High craft, good communication, want to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to charge to be all those things.
Absolutely. Service quality and price, right?
Pick
2.
Yes.
That's the name of the game.
Yes.
Totally understand.
Yes. Yes. And we don't want to be a race to the bottom group. We're in a niche that needs to grow and we have to be part of that growth.
Mm-hmm.
So every client is really like a new soldier in our army of helping spread the word of sustainable landscaping.
The referral partners and all that jazz,
You betcha. Mm-hmm. You betcha.
So one more thing I wanted to ask you about in regards to the sale is there were employees, and there were 3-4 employees, something like that, you said when you bought?
Yep.
Okay. And now how many employees do you have now?
Well, we're up, I have 3 part-time summer and 4 full-time.
Okay.
So probably double.
Sure.
Employee size.
So when you sold, or when you bought, I should say, when you bought, was there any concern in regards to the employees, like the employees themselves? Are they like, oh my gosh, it's a buyout, I'm going to lose my job, whatever? Or is it pretty much they know you, it's smooth and fine?
2 were summer help, and they were fine with finding new summer help.
Sure.
1 was building a career there,
mm-hmm.
and that individual stayed with me.
Awesome.
For 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And that individual knows how grateful we are. That individual was sharp enough and learned enough to go off on his own.
Oh, nice.
And start his own company.
Sure. That'll happen.
We have since beefed up our benefit package, become more of a destination company.
Sure.
And I think are doing what we can to keep everybody like that. But having that person stay here with his abilities and capabilities was ginormously helpful.
Sure.
Without a doubt.
No, I can tell you from running the businesses that I have with employees, there are things that you can do from a financial point of view and benefits and all that kind of stuff that you can comfortably do, let's say, for your employees. There's things that you can do that are a stretch that maybe you wouldn't do for most people, but for certain employees, you'll do everything you can.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm surprised at the 10 years because realistically with employees and the, I'll call it limited loyalty now for lack of a better phrase, that after a few years, they just kind of want something different regardless of pay or benefits and stuff like that. You could give them $1 million a year. Well, maybe then they'd stay. But you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They would stay if it was not a realistic package that you were giving them, but for the most part, after a few years, they're just like, you know what, it's time for something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally understand that. I appreciate that. So it's good to hear that somebody stayed with you a long time. We just had someone that was with us for a very long time. She moved on. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sometimes when you just can't keep them.
Yes.
Not indefinitely, right? Just like I imagine there's going to be a time where you're like, you know what, maybe it's time to sell the business and try something new.
Well, they say, you know, when you start a business, you have to immediately be thinking about how to sell it.
It's exit strategy. Yeah.
Yep. And you know, along with trying to build a new office now, so we had been working out of a kind of a glorified shed on our grounds, and we now have more of a commercial building, not much bigger because we don't want to overbuild. I don't want to overspend.
Mm-hmm.
It's built to a size that we can grow into comfortably and probably never grow out of.
Oh, nice. Okay.
At least thinking 20 years off where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of gotten easier for me.
Sure.
How big I want to be.
Right.
I now think about how many crew leaders I want to stare at every 6:30 in the morning, you know, and orchestrate.
Sure.
We want to be 3 to 5 crews big.
Okay.
You know, that takes us to $1 million or a little over $1 million.
Sure.
You know, you can't manage craft. You can't manage labor. Mm-hmm. So many things if you get to a certain size.
Mm-hmm.
So the size is less relevant to me.
Sure.
But I need to think about what I'm going to look like so we can start to build for it.
Sure.
That
makes sense.
Slow over time.
Right. So that's good that the employees, the transition there, that was pretty smooth or relatively smooth?
It sure was. Keeping an employee for 10 years afterwards helped out tremendously.
Sure.
There's a tremendous labor shortage. It's in the service
industry. Oh, it's insane.
In the service industry especially. Yeah. It's epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have the new folks coming up mm-hmm. that want to be interested in our industries.
Mm-hmm.
So
do landscaping when we can design video games?
Absolutely.
Or something, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and so building a company that has good benefits, that you can come 8 to 5, you can leave your job behind. Mm-hmm. When you leave, you can feel good about mm-hmm. What you do at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. We have different trainings and certifications that an employee can get.
Mm-hmm.
We have a family feeling. Mm-hmm. I am a pretty empathetic owner, always have been.
Sure.
Care about everybody, like family. You don't mm-hmm. get that everywhere.
No.
Folks who are attracted to us with a lot of experience mm-hmm. are interested in not being a number, mm-hmm. having some say, mm-hmm. Dictating outcomes,
mm-hmm.
Which are great, because if you're building your company like a community, I need the input of my great employees to help guide mm-hmm. our ship.
Mm-hmm.
So I work around a lot of guys that kind of gripe at their bosses all day long and gals.
Sure.
Because of, you know, what they don't do or what they should do and
sure.
what they can't bring from a complaint perspective. So
mm-hmm.
I hope we have a little bit more of a open dialogue with our employees.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
No, culture of the business is huge.
Right.
And the people you hire will govern that if you don't steer the ship on your own.
Right.
Even when you try, sometimes it's tough.
And I'm supposed to stay out of the subculture that manifests itself
yeah, right.
In the company too.
Sure.
Right? I mean, drive the big culture of the company, but mm-hmm. but the employee culture that generates, I've just read and learned. Don't let dorky boss guy try to come into that.
My perspective, thought. I would say you have to watch it, and as long as you're okay with it, stay out of the way.
Stay out of the way.
There's going to come a time when you have that employee that's essentially becoming the bad apple.
Yeah.
I can tell you, we had that. We had that with calls on call. We had a receptionist that she was super smart. She was super nice, but she just had this cloud over her where she was just a generally negative person.
Yes.
And because of that, her work was suffering. And because of that, the culture of the business was just shifting almost overnight.
Yes.
You come into the office and it was just as
you could
cloud.
Feel it.
Oh, the energy. You could totally
cut
feel
cut through it. Yes.
Yeah. So I did what I could to try to help her and then help the team. But in the end, we had to let her go.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those, like, she wasn't surprised and she didn't even seem that concerned that she lost her job, but whatever. The challenging thing was that it was not an overnight fix. That come in the next day and there's still this cloud. So we had to do everything we could to bring it back to where it was, if not improve it. But it wasn't just, hey, we got rid of the negative person, you guys can smile now.
Yeah. It went back to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of you helping it.
It was work.
Yeah.
It was work. And I bet it took the better part of a year to get the culture back. I mean, because culture is moving, it's a moving ship, I guess. So
mm-hmm.
it took some time to get it back to where I was happy and I feel like our employees were happy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the challenge with any business.
Absolutely.
It's the culture.
And did you let that employee stay too long, if you don't mind my asking,
yeah.
in your estimation?
Totally.
Yeah,
a thousand times, yes.
That's the biggest problem, and I've been fairly guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say hire slow and fire fast, and that isn't meant to be as negative
right.
as it sounds, but taking more time on the front end.
Right.
So the people that do come in the door, you hopefully don't have to have those things, those conversations with.
See, it's funny because I hear things like that, right? Hire slow, fire fast, and I think that's a great ideal statement.
Yep.
But in the market that we have now,
yes,
sometimes where a body beats nobody.
Yes.
And even a bad body beats nobody.
Okay, I like these statements too that
so,
you've just come up. Agreed. And you know, I have a an industry consultant. I get his newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Scott.
Mm-hmm.
is his name, and I really value the things he says. In fact, I print them all and put them in a binder, and I have
nice.
7 years worth of his,
wow.
you know, just weekly, bi-weekly statements.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a lot of talking about building the best team you can,
mm-hmm.
right? And I am totally dedicated to building the best team we can.
It's your business.
Yes. But you have to build, this is, you know, may not, you have to build with what you're bringing in the door.
Absolutely.
Yes, and what you're attracting. So Jeffrey Scott, you know, we've been kind of employing this concept as you market to new employees, like you market to new clients or existing clients.
Sure.
So, and that's been simple statement and a kind of an eye-opening, eye-opening concept, having a broader reach where we're advertising.
Sure.
Advertising all year long, so we don't just hire when we need to. We're always hiring.
Sure.
And that isn't meant to look like we're growing every day and and that sort of thing, but that has helped too. Clear job descriptions, a nice looking website, many of those things. Yeah,
sure.
To help, those give you things to stand behind when you're talking to a new employee. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, are you in regard? You mentioned that you're working 60 hours a week. Is the majority of what you're doing management, or are you out there with a shovel or a bobcat? I guess.
Yeah, thanks. That's a good question. I'm in sales, so and my background's in landscape architecture. I'm a licensed landscape architect, so I do most of the design work and then the quoting and the client interactions on the front end. And so they say I do the hunting and bring the meal home, and then my build side prepares the meal and makes it, brings it to table and makes it taste awesome. So I mean, that's where I am on that end of the business. I do get into the field a little bit.
Sure.
I've been out for training. I've been out as you know, when needed on certain projects. Not afraid of that.
Sure.
Came up that way. And I think that really helps. I planted my first tree when I was 17 and I'm 46.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know much else about other things, but I know my industry pretty well. And it's nice to have come up in the install aspect just in terms of being a better designer, being able to communicate better with the field staff and that sort of thing. So mostly the front end sales, and then really depend on a great build staff who can take a plan and build it.
Sure.
I always promise them too that they walk into good situations when they get to a new client.
Gotcha.
You know, I think you can, you know, how long has a client been waiting? How was the front end interaction like? How often could they get a hold of John? How much do they like the plan? And do they think the price is high and they reluctantly signed? And there's a number of little things that could negatively impact when our build crew gets there.
Sure. But
usually they walk into a good situation and build it in our time frame that we have.
Well, it's a happy thing that you're installing, right? It's not like,
it really is.
Oh, I have to get landscaping.
right?
Yeah, no, like it's brain surgery or something.
This is true.
It's essentially a massage for their house, right?
So it still gets pretty demanding out there.
I imagine.
You know, and you know, if you're working with clients that are interested in a niche and want to pay for quality, you know, they do drive the car in some regards. And we see ourselves as a yes sir type of a company.
Sure.
We want to be a general contractor for a homeowner's out of doors. Lighting issue, a stormwater erosion issue. Maybe I see a few shingles off your house. I'll find somebody to help get that done. And some of our clients want it that way.
Yeah.
You know, they don't hardly get out in the yard as much as they should.
Right.
You know, let alone know if they're experiencing any issue.
It's ugly. They want it beautiful by you, right?
You bet. You know, so we keep a watchful eye.
Sure.
On our clients' work.
Nice. Speaking of clients' work, do you have a favorite project that you've done in the past few years?
Boy, there are a couple. I don't have a lot of favorites per se.
Okay.
Well, we're doing one now for a small, it's called the Grove Market in Evansville.
Okay.
It's a small, semi-public space, and we're designing some cool outdoor spaces, some attractive lighting.
Oh, nice.
Kind of a dry swale that will manage stormwater.
Okay.
And part of sustainability, we use quite a bit of native plants. So these are plants that have grown here historically from the Midwest.
Okay.
This is using our own fauna, not imported species.
Sure.
Planting grasses that don't require mowing as often.
Oh.
So this is our no-mow turf grass.
Do you do lawns that way? because yes. I would be all about
yes.
that.
You know, converting an existing is a little harder, but sure. taking a new one or a smaller patch or things like that, it's ideal.
Sure. Okay.
You know, and this isn't look like a 6-inch tall chia pet lawn grass.
Okay.
It kind of lays on itself real nice and helps keep weeds out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, in rain gardens. So we have a couple of rain gardens in this project, which are gardens to manage your runoff from your roof.
Okay.
So rather than having water leave a particular site and go to one of our Great Lakes here
sure.
in the Midwest mm-hmm. and cause flooding, mm-hmm. These rain gardens look attractive with wildflowers, but also soak up your rainwater.
Oh, interesting.
So those are some of the features in the project we're working on now
okay.
that are kind of common to sure. the work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, again, is natural stone
mm-hmm.
versus the modular block that
oh,
you
sure.
see in a lot of landscapes. So
mm-hmm.
That's a locally quarried, very durable stone that we love to use.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds super cool.
Yes.
It almost sounds like fun.
It is. It's very physical work, but,
oh,
but it's fun. Yeah, and I think having the right equipment to make employees
sure.
happy is
mm-hmm.
kind of critical. One other thing I should mention, too, our financial reporting that we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I have 4 meetings with my crew over 8 months. I call them like 4 quarters in a game.
Yeah.
But we'll go out and review our financial data together.
Oh,
and very we'll
cool.
see the accounts that they're kind of directly attributed
mm-hmm.
to. We'll let them know where our profits are, how we're doing with our sales projections.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a continuation of bringing them into the system
sure.
and helping them take ownership of our company.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yes.
Huh, nice. So is it tough to find? Or I'm sorry, is it tough to keep employees that have been with you for a little while? Or has it been historically?
Yeah, I think not historically hard, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
It can be.
Sure.
Everybody in our industry experiences
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
Those issues.
Sure.
Our main office is south of Madison, so maybe our pool is less of Madison and
oh,
more
gotcha.
Of southern Wisconsin
sure.
where we're getting employees.
Sure.
I think I probably need to advertise with the FFA a little bit more, some of the Future Farmers of America, the kids locally.
Sure.
Jeffrey Scott, our advisor, well, he's not our personal advisor,
mm-hmm.
but the gentleman I get newsletters
sure.
from, recommended picking a school and building more awareness with our local school.
Sure.
So, and we haven't had the opportunities we should have with our local high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, really working there to
mm-hmm.
find new employees.
Sure.
A couple of nephews are interested.
okay.
I would love for them to be more interested,
sure.
you know, in the business.
Right.
But I think some of our offerings, our benefits, we just created healthcare for our employees this year.
Very cool.
We just established a 401k.
Okay.
So I think those will helpfully keep employees around.
Sure.
Also, I probably can't stress my own attitude as a leader
mm-hmm.
And how attractive or non-attractive that could be
sure.
to an employee.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Whether they like you as a manager or not.
Yes, yes,
sure.
yes, yes. And I think I can be a better leader and less a better manager.
Sure.
Right.
Fair.
And, you know, talking big picture
mm-hmm.
vibe and oratories and get people motivated in that regard. But a
mm-hmm.
management of a day or a group or a people is not something I'm interested
sure.
in doing. But, you know, learning to keep my cool, learning to stay organized,
mm-hmm.
Having a smile on my face because I am a mirror, you know, to all my employees.
Absolutely.
Understanding, you know, they may have a rough day,
mm-hmm.
May walk into a rough day, may come
sure.
from a rough day.
Mm-hmm.
Offering flexibility and understanding in that regard.
Sure.
So those I think have been helpful.
Nice.
You know, if you do blow up in a situation,
right.
you're willing to take ownership of that,
sure.
that bad action and apologize.
Sure.
I mean, I am only human like the next person
Absolutely.
At our company.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like I'm a leader in training every single day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And never,
you know,
stop learning.
Never. Yeah. And this is critical for you and your
mm-hmm.
your clients as well. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You never know it all, and there's
no.
always more to know.
Mm-hmm.
And asking questions, joining trade associations has been pretty nice because
mm-hmm.
I've been able to learn a ton
sure.
That way too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
nice.
Really never stop learning.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a few more questions for
yes.
you, if you don't mind, John. So one, what has been most beneficial in regards to marketing for your business? Because you mentioned that you have a lot of competition around And I imagine some of that competition has been established, and others just a guy with a shovel in a van. So you're dealing with a lot of just broad competition, maybe not necessarily in your niche, but how do you distinguish and what has worked in the past?
You bet. That's a great question. Thanks. We do track when we get a phone call, and it turns into a lead, you know, where they've come from, and then analyze those, at least try to at the end of the year, and see how we've done. So we have 4 or 5 years of data kind of to back up some of what we're seeing. Word of mouth, you know, is still
so referrals from
boss.
Existing? Okay.
Yes, yes. Working on several. It went well here, and someone else is looking for work, and you become a shoo-in, it seems, for that work.
Sure, awesome.
And we work a lot with companion businesses, so we're both part of a trade organization in Madison where some of the best remodelers and builders and service providers...
Used to be. I'm not part of that anymore.
Right.
That's all right.
No. It's... So access to them and getting referrals from them has been tremendous. And we call them companion businesses.
Sure.
So any remodeler in the Madison area, there are a couple that focus on sustainable remodeling as well.
Sure.
So I always had a promise to them that I would be there for any landscape-related questions free of charge. But when they send me a lead, it's a very important thing.
Very cool.
And I've gotten a ton of great leads from them.
Oh, nice.
And they're not race to the bottom remodelers either.
Sure.
They're interested in quality, communication, artistic solutions. So when those leads come to us, they're more green than they are red to start with. And probably third that's really worked for us is our trade shows.
Oh, so I was going to ask you about those.
Oh, were you? Great. Okay. Three trade shows.
That was the next question.
Do.
But yeah, but they're expensive.
Yes.
So I always wonder about the return on those because you're talking thousands of dollars. And some of the, and that's just for the booth, right? Just to even exist in that little 10 by 10 space or whatever it is.
Yes.
And on top of that, you have the whole, I mean, I've seen some where landscapers are bringing in rock and all kinds of beautiful layouts.
Yes.
But I thought, holy cow, man, you had to pull some employees to man those and install all that jazz. So just tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, and that's a great question. I have been at trade shows for about 15 years, even with my previous employer.
Sure.
And we used to set up bigger, fancier booths. And I have it now where it's as attractive as I can make it, and it sets up in an hour and a half.
Nice. Great.
So I bought a quick, you know, easy peasy setup trade show booth. We bought some graphics for it, a nice tablecloth, some fake plants and vases, color coordinate some of the pieces that are in our booth, make it simple, make the message strong, and having attentive people there ready to ask, hey, are you planning a landscape project this year to get a conversation going is almost as important. So I've boiled it down because I am not going to spend that kind of time to have conversations with client. It isn't about what I set up in a booth, which usually looks like chaos to me, more than it does craft or creativity.
Right.
And I let our pieces up on the board, I let our website, and I let our portfolio at the table kind of speak for itself. And that's one way we've combated the cost. Each of the ones that we go to are Madison-based, and they're about anywhere from $750 to $1,100 for a booth.
Okay, sure.
You know, I, because I'm salaried, you know, as an owner, I take owner's draws.
Sure.
We're a sole proprietor taxed as an LLC, or I'm an LLC taxed as a sole proprietor.
Sure.
So I pay myself by just pulling out draws, but I'm theoretically salaried. So I account for a good deal of those hours over there. And I do think I'm one of our better salespeople, so I make sure I'm there. We have two people during the busy hours. And we actually went through some training with a trade organization member.
Oh, nice.
Action Coach. You know, they have a little hour-long training that we learned.
This is how you actually try to make some money.
Make something here and be busy, and you just don't sit and sit in your chair and wait for people to walk up and buy
actually
from
talk
you.
To people.
Yes. That's an interesting concept. But we do make them better now. And we're better at them.
Okay.
And we've tracked where we'll get 3 to 7 leads out of a trade show.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And a couple in town are really developing to be stronger. And the statistics show, at least for one of them, that 6 out of 10 that come, purchase, are going to purchase or complete some kind of remodel that year.
That's awesome.
So that's the NARI trade show.
6 out of 10 yes, of all 60%. The attendees.
Yes, are interested.
That's not just data there for they
collect. No, not this one. Yeah, wow. And they collect the data. It's 3,000 to 6,000 attendees in a weekend.
Sure.
One we won't be at, unfortunately, and I love the show, is the Garden Expo.
Oh.
And I have been there for a very, very long time.
But sure.
That's, you know, it's a little more educational, a little more tire kicking.
Okay.
There and you have to analyze every show too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and make decisions on where you should spend.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Totally understand. Yeah, because there's an investment of time, money, effort.
Just like you said.
All that jazz, yeah.
Yes.
Totally understand.
Yes.
So for someone that was considering either, let's just start with someone that's considering buying a business. What's some advice that you would give them if someone was considering buying an existing business?
Well, since I'd gone to these Inventors and Entrepreneur Club meetings, mm-hmm. It was something I've done for fun, I guess, volunteer them outside of business,
sure.
but attended these to learn.
Yeah,
I have since learned that there's an industry out there that helps people sell and buy businesses.
Mm-hmm. There is.
I didn't dive into the costing,
sure.
but the people we had come seemed like a great husband and wife couple.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed really knowledgeable,
mm-hmm.
and it seemed worthwhile to at least see what those kinds of companies,
sure.
you know, could offer me
mm-hmm.
with assistance. Because I think sometimes taking yourself out of the deal
mm-hmm.
When you want to sell or buy
mm-hmm.
can be helpful. So somebody else is doing the dealing and
it's
the
more
asking.
Analytical or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, your emotion doesn't have to be in it if someone else is
sure.
helping you wheel sure. and deal. Obviously, a relationship with your lender.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only really there to be your financial person, but they have a great stake in your success.
Sure.
And I think if you're not afraid to get cozy with your lender,
sure.
They're open to helping you too.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the accountant. I say running the purchase price back them.
Mm-hmm.
They have probably in their 25 years have dealt with many,
sure.
you know, new mm-hmm. and sales
mm-hmm.
and can offer you advice. So trust your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Trust your friends,
mm-hmm.
Don't go it alone.
No.
You know, without a doubt,
sure.
it takes a community. The more people you can query about that, you know, without feeling, you know, like you know nothing, because
sure.
you have to ask just everybody. I think that's really a pretty good way to go
sure.
about it.
That's awesome.
Yes,
I'm so proud of you for doing that.
Well,
that's so cool.
Yes.
Plus the whole. Getting the third and all that jazz, I just feel like, holy cow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You could teach other people how to negotiate and work with that. So congrats to you. That's
Thank
awesome.
Thank you, James. Yeah. Thank you.
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching, co-owner of Calls on Call, Shared Receptionist Services, as well as the author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, and our guest, John Gishnock of Formicology. John, I forgot to ask you your website.
Formicology.com.
Okay, so that's Formicology.com. Awesome. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m. as well as Sundays at 2 p.m. or at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link on drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.